Welcome, C3. Great to have you with us today. If you are a C3er or maybe you're just found our live stream, we are so glad that you're here with us today. My name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at C3. And today, we are actually in week three of a series that we started just a couple weeks ago. We're calling it, What Would Jesus Undo? Now, some of you that were maybe were alive in the 90s, maybe you were youth in the 90s, you might remember that back in the 90s, they had this little bracelet thing that say, What Would Jesus Do? Or WWJD. Well, we got thinking, well, what would Jesus undo? What would Jesus want to not have happen? And that's what we're talking about over this series. And last week, I changed the message, and we talked about fear because of what's been going on. And I'm doing the same today. What would Jesus undo? I had a total different message, but today I want to talk to you about what Jesus wants to undo is actually suffering, struggles, things like that. Things that we are actually right now dealing with. It's interesting because Jesus actually told us something that's very, very true. I love how Jesus was just always so honest. In John 16:33, Jesus says this. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. Whew. And we're doing that, isn't it? Have you figured out that life is hard? I mean, forget just the virus. Yeah, all the stuff that we're going through right now in our community, in our state, and in our world. We have the virus thing, but have you actually realized that we have trouble in other areas? Some of you today are actually at home because you have to be quarantined. We're all supposed to be quarantined, right? And you're at home and you're with your spouse, and man, you're just like frustrated because you and your spouse were not getting along even before this, and now you have to be at home with each other. And you're like, oh my goodness, how are we? We're either going to kill each other or we're going to find out how to love each other again. And that's my hope for you. But in this world, we will have trouble. Some of you are concerned about the trouble that you're dealing with right now because of the virus. Your business has shut down. And maybe you're not even getting any income right now. Can I tell you, Jesus is telling you the same thing. You will have trouble. We will. But, Jesus says this, but take heart. I, the Savior, I, the Messiah, I, the Son of God, have overcome the world. That's the good news. That's what we hang on to. That's what we believe that Jesus is going to do. At one point, the world was perfect. At some point, he will fix it again because we created sin. And it's going to be good at some point. Let me tell you, at the very beginning, let me just tell you from Genesis. If you don't know a lot about the Bible, Genesis is the very first book of the Bible. At the very beginning of the Bible is Genesis. Genesis literally means this. It means beginnings. And when you look in Genesis, chapters 1 and chapters 2, what you're going to find is this. You're going to find that everything's perfect. God creates everything. God speaks it into existence. And then he creates the first people, Adam and Eve, the first man and the first woman. And it was perfect. It was perfect. They had perfect bodies. They didn't age. They didn't have disease or sickness or cancer. Their bodies were perfect. In Genesis 1 and 2, it shows how perfect. Well, I mean, even the temperature was perfect. It wasn't too hot. It wasn't too cold. Everything was perfect. Even their relationship, Adam and Eve, even their relationship was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. I mean, they had no problems, Adam and Eve. No problems at all with each other. I mean, nowadays you're going, hey, are you cheating on me? Are you seeing somebody else? There was nobody else. It was just Adam and Eve. They didn't have to worry about that. They had a perfect relationship. And what's even amazing when you look at Scripture, the Bible tells us this. The Bible tells us that there was times where God himself would come to them. And he and Adam and Eve would walk in the cool of the evening. Wow, that's amazing. Here they are walking with God. They had it perfect. It was amazing. It was beautiful. They lived in utopia is really where they lived. That's Genesis chapters 1 and 2. And then we get to Genesis 3. And Genesis 3 shows exactly the opposite. Everything was good, but all of a sudden, instead of everything being about God's will and God's plan, Adam and Eve decided, nah, we want to do our own thing. And all of a sudden, sin entered the world. And because of sin, because sin entered the world, all of a sudden, this world became corrupted. This world, because of sin, all of a sudden, it starts to just disintegrate. It starts to be just tearing down. It's not the way that God created it. All of a sudden, they sin. And when they had food everywhere, all of a sudden, they have to start tilling the ground and planting and harvesting. They have to actually start working to get their food. They actually have to start doing things. And where everything was beautiful, all of a sudden you see thistles and weeds and things coming up. And the world all of a sudden it became just not what God had created and what God wanted it to be. Because sin entered the world. It's not perfect anymore. Romans 8:22 tells us this. It says, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." The whole creation is growing as if childbirth. Some of you ladies that are watching right now, you've had kids and you understand the pain and the pressure and all that stuff and having that kid and you're groaning and just want it to be done. What this verse is telling us is our entire world, our entire universe, our entire planet is going, it's growing, it's groaning. It's like, this is not right. At one point, everything was perfect, but sin entered the world, and all of a sudden, it's not perfect, and the world is groaning. It's moaning, it's hurting. All of everything that God's created is suddenly askewed because of sin. Because of sin. So, I want to ask a question, and if you want to take notes, here's a couple things you can take notes on. Why is life so hard in this world? Why is life so hard in this world? And there's really two reasons. Number one is this. Sin still affects our world to this day. Sin still affects our world to this day. Yes, God created it beautiful and perfect. Then he created man and woman. They sinned. And yes, it caused sin back then. But it still goes on today. That first sin continued to go over and over. We deal with sin. Let me just kind of give you an example. This is a made up example, but it probably happens almost every day. There's a man, let's say, that decides to go out with some friends. And he comes home drunk. Now again, Scripture talks about that anything in excess is not pleasing to God, is a sin. So there's a sin right there. He comes home drunk, and because he's drunk, and he's got that first sin, all of a sudden he comes home angry and drunk, and he starts beating his wife, and he starts beating his kids. His wife, who just got beat, He doesn't realize, but he broke her nose, and all of a sudden, for the rest of her life, she's going to have a hard time breathing out of her nose that she's going to have to live with for the rest of her life. The kids that got beaten, the kids couldn't handle it. They were afraid of their dad after what he had done, and they ran and took off. Two of the kids got into drugs. One got into prostitution. One of the sons that got into the drugs, he ends up not really caring about anything. He's just hurting inside. And again, the saying that we've heard a lot of here at C3 is, hurt people hurt people. And the son who was beaten earlier by his dad at some point in the past, leaves, runs away, gets into drugs. And all of a sudden, he just can't take it anymore. And he's driving and he runs through a red light and he hits into a bus and kills 6 people. Now you got 6 different families that are grieving, that are having to bury their dead loved ones. And all of a sudden, we look and see how one sin, a guy that drank too much and came home angry, the sins just keep multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. And that's only one example. You take tens of millions on this planet and how the ripple effect happens. And you will now quickly find out that's why our world is the way it is. It's because of sin. Yes, it started in the garden with Adam and Eve. But the reality is this. You and I are adding to it as well. When we sin, when we do our will, not God's will, we are adding sin to the world. And those sins, even though we may not think that they're that big a deal, there's repercussions. There's a ripple effect. It affects our spouse. It affects our kids. It affects our parents. It affects our friends. It affects our coworkers. It affects other people. And it keeps going and going. And because of all of the sin, our world is broken. Because all of our sin, we are broken. And we need a Savior. And we need somebody to help us with our struggles. Somebody that will help us with our suffering. And that's God. That is what God wants to do. But let me give you the second thing about why life is so hard. This is not our final home. Yes, life is hard because we have sin. But the good news is this is not our final home. This is where we live, we are born. But this is not our final home. Let me tell you, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, listen. If you're a disciple, a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, Scripture tells us this is not our final home. We are just passing through. Basically, God's just giving us a visitor's pass. That's what he's doing. He's just giving us a visit because we're just here temporarily. We're not here for the ongoing. What happens when you and I become a follower of Jesus Christ, at that moment, and listen to this, at the moment that you and I become a follower of Jesus Christ, we become a citizen of the kingdom of God. Now, we're not in heaven yet, but the kingdom of God is right here on earth. We become a citizen of the kingdom of God. Someday we will be in the literal kingdom, but we are right now. We are here on earth being the example to others. Is that you? John 1:12 says this, but to all who did receive him, receive Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right, listen, he gave the right to become what? Children of God. If you have accepted Jesus Christ, not mental assent, but truly know him, you are a child of God. He is our heavenly Father. You are his son or daughter. And you, by definition, you are part of his kingdom right now. I hope that gives you hope in times of trouble like we're dealing with right now. I hope that gives you some kind of hope. But let me tell you, one of the things that we are to do, if we are now part of the kingdom of God, but we're still on earth, we are to be ambassadors. Now, what is an ambassador? Let me tell you what an ambassador is. If you were from America and you were an ambassador to some other country, what that would mean is this, is that you would be an ambassador to some other country, which means you are standing in place of the president. Or, let's take it for the example, England. If England sent an ambassador over here, the ambassador will be standing in place of the queen, representing the queen, what she wants done. That's what an ambassador does. What you and I do as we are on this planet, we are God's ambassadors. In fact, 2 Corinthians tells us this. Therefore, we, now who's the we? The we is we that are followers of Jesus Christ. Not everybody on the planet. Those who are followers of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we, Christians, are ambassadors for Christ. God's making his appeal through us. Stop and think about that. God is making his appeal through us. We are the ambassador. He's using us to tell people that they need Jesus. Are you an ambassador for Christ? Are you doing that? Am I doing that? We got to ask that question for ourselves. Are we an ambassador for Jesus Christ while we're on this planet? Where like God is like making his appeal through us. And then look at this last part. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. In other words, you know what this is saying? This last line is saying, if you are not a follower of God, we want to help you. We want to encourage you to be reconciled to God so that you can be an ambassador too, so that you can be part of the kingdom of God. Let me tell you, I'm assuming that a lot of you that are watching this right now, that are watching this live stream, that many of you are probably followers of Jesus Christ already. But every week when the building is open and before all this virus stuff, we'd have a whole bunch of guests. And we've been having over the last few weeks of doing the online stream, a whole bunch of guests as well. And you may be a guest and you may not even know Jesus Christ. You just know about him. Can I encourage you that God loves you, that God wants a relationship with you, and he's using people like me, ordinary, average schmucks. He uses people like us to be his ambassadors. And I, as one of the ambassadors, want to say to you, why don't you reconcile with God? Why don't you come into relationship with God? That's his heartbeat. That's what he came for all. He came for everybody to come and know him. And today is possibly your day, your opportunity to be able to come into a relationship with him. What if you do that? And then when you come into this relationship, this amazing relationship with God, all of a sudden, you now have a mission. You have a purpose. You now are one of the ambassadors to other people to help reach other people in the sinful, fallen, terrible, messed up world. Because this world needs, and we all know it, this world needs hope. And you could be part of that as well. You see, we're not in this world by choice. We're born into it. But once we become a follower of Jesus Christ, here's what happens. Scripture talks about that. We feel like we're strangers and aliens of this world. Suddenly we don't feel like this is really where we're supposed to be. That there's somewhere else better. And I'm going to tell you, if you haven't figured out, that is eternity with God. The kingdom of God. There was a lady back in early February. A lady in our church was passing. And she was at the hospice house. And so early February, I went over there to visit her. Her name is June Blankenship. Some of you who are regular C3ers may know her. June was 90 years old. June was one of the first people back in 1947 where a couple families came together and started C3 literally in their house, in their living room. And as more people came and it started to grow, they moved it out and eventually came to what we are right now. So June is one of the people. June was 90 years old. June, I loved about June is because she would oftentimes talk with the other people that are her age in the seniors ministry to remind them that the church isn't just about seniors. The church is about the next generation to reaching the lost. And I love that because she helped start this church in 1947, and here she is now 90 years old, getting ready to pass. And she still has a heart for people to come to know Jesus and the next generation. And as I'm sitting there in the hospice house, and I'm talking with her, I asked June, I said, June, if God would answer your prayer the way you want him to do it, what would you want? Would you be asking God to heal you so you can continue to live? Or would you ask God to take you home to heaven? And in so many different words, she basically said she wanted to go home to heaven. A few weeks after that, God honored her prayer and took her home. But can I tell you something? For all that time, even time while she was dying in the hospice house, she was an ambassador. She was telling people about Jesus. She was telling people how they need to know him. Can I tell you, she was an ambassador. And that is what we, and when our, and we as ambassadors, when our time comes, we're going to realize we feel like a stranger. We feel like an alien in this world. This isn't our home anymore. We have a better home to go to. See, For 2 Corinthians 5:17, here's what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a, say it with me, new creation. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has passed away. It's gone. Behold, the new has come. You are now a new creation. Your sin, your struggles, the things that you deal with, God has taken those sins away from you. You are new. You're in a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Whew, man, that's awesome. Isn't that awesome to hear that? This is something that God wants for each and every one of us. But let me tell you, when life gets hard, it's a reminder that this is not our final destination. We are just passing through. God's got a better place for each one of us. Let me give you 2 Corinthians 4:17. Take a look at this. It says, for this light momentary affliction, in other words, this little affliction, this stuff that you're dealing with now, yeah, the virus, yeah, maybe other stuff, but these light momentary affliction is preparing us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Now, let me just kind of explain this a little bit. Sometimes we're going to have struggles, afflictions, like this verse is saying. And it's saying, whatever you're going through right now, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome, better in heaven. I want you to think, forget about your struggles. Think about the best thing you've ever seen. Think about, like, if you've gone to, I don't know, maybe you've gone to Hawaii or gone down to Jamaica or maybe you've gone to the Oregon coast. Whatever, but there's a lot of beautiful places in the Pacific Northwest. Maybe you're thinking of one of those places. And you're like, man, this is so beautiful. And so, can I tell you, the beauty that you have seen in nature and around this world possibly doesn't even compare to what God has for us in heaven. God's got something amazing for us. This is not our plan. This is not our planet. This is just, we're just passing through. Until we get to the kingdom of God, when we step into eternity with God forever and ever and ever. But Scripture tells us, listen, Scripture tells us that we will struggle. Even followers of Jesus Christ. In fact, let me just, I want to show you a passage that is just, it's amazing and it's hard at the same time. It's a passage that was written by Paul. And now, let me just kind of talk about Paul for a second. Paul was a guy in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, talk about the same 3-year period of this one Jewish carpenter, Jesus. Jesus then dies on the cross,